Good morning, good people.
Good morning.
I'm going to mix things up a little bit before I launch into my reflection. I'm going to do some announcements now. Because first of all, I want to say, isn't it beautiful in here? Many, many thanks to the Environment Committee for providing us with such a beautiful space to spend Lent and to contemplate our theme of being love. And the second thing I want to bring your attention to is this wonderful booklet that Melanie has created for us. And there's two things. One, in the back are some like kind of like bulletin pages, so things for you to pay attention to. But also, we have really moved into the 21st century. Open up your front cover and look at this little scan code here. You can take your phone, not now, after Mass, not while Sister is preaching. Take your phone and scan the code, and it'll take you right to our website where all that information is available. So, thank you, Melanie, for this amazing resource. I'm not a teacher or by profession or training, but that's not going to stop me from giving you all a pop quiz. Who remembers the first Sunday of Advent and the twofold challenge that was laid out for us for the Advent season? I'll give you a hint. There was a beautiful cave here and an empty manger and a mirror. Gold star to anyone who remembers that the challenge was to gaze into the mirror and see the face of Christ reflected in our own face, and then to turn our gaze and see the face of Christ in those we met. Advent and Christmas was the time for us to contemplate the incarnation of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, the divine made human. Incarnation, from the Latin incarnatus, which means to become flesh. During the season of Advent, we were invited to gaze into the crib and to see ourselves as the Christ child reflected back at us, the Christ incarnate within ourselves, and then to turn to the world and see Christ reflected there. And today we pick up right where we left off. During this sacred season of Lent, we are moved to consider why. Why would God choose to become flesh? Father Tony expressed it so well for us last Sunday when he told us about the compassion of God. Compassion, from the Latin compassio, to suffer with. By becoming human, Jesus entered into our pain and suffering. So this Lent, we are invited to gaze in a different direction. From gazing into the crib to gazing upon the face of Christ, as depicted here in the San Damiano cross. This cross is pretty close to the actual size of the original San Damiano cross, which now hangs in the Basilica of Santa Chiara, St. Clare, in Assisi. Its original home, of course, was the small church of San Damiano, just outside the city walls. During the early years of his conversion, it is this cross from which St. Francis heard Christ speaking to him. "Francis, go rebuild my church, for as you see, it is in ruins." Poor confused Francis. He took this literally at first and rebuilt the small church and the surrounding buildings. Only later did he come to know that the church he was to rebuild was us, the people of God. We are the church. It is also this cross, this face of Christ, that St. Clare spoke of when she wrote to Blessed Agnes. "Gaze upon Christ, consider Christ, contemplate Christ." Sister Diane reminded me that St. Clair spent 45 years of her life gazing upon this very face. And in Clair's words, she yearned to imitate him. I remember the first time I saw this cross. It was my first visit to Assisi, and I was with a pilgrimage group. We visited the Basilica, and after a short presentation and prayer, we were given about 40 minutes on our own in the Basilica to walk around and see whatever we wanted. I planted myself in a pew in front of this cross and didn't move for the entire time. I literally wept thinking about the significance of this cross, the connection to Francis and Claire. I listened intently for any words from Christ to me. And every time I've ever visited this basilica again, I find myself in that very same pew. I have spent many hours, blessed time, gazing at this face. Often, when we think about the compassion of God and the pain and suffering of Jesus, we automatically turn to the crucifixion, and gazing on the cross can easily lead us in that direction. Because, let's be honest, the ultimate expression of compassion is to offer one's life for another. But when we look to the Gospels and contemplate the whole of Jesus' life, we see other ways that Jesus suffered like us. While not explicit in the Gospels, we can use our imagination to believe that certainly Jesus suffered sorrow and grief at the death of his earthly father Joseph or other family members or friends. I'm sure that every one of us has experienced some sorrow and grief of a beloved family member or friend. How bittersweet it is to recall the memories of times shared with them. Jesus suffered being misunderstood by his own followers and treated with suspicion by the authorities. Perhaps you can think of a time in your life or career when people just didn't get you or questioned your actions or motives. There is a deep sense of isolation and loneliness that can come from these experiences. Jesus experienced betrayal and abandonment by those he loved and trusted most. Sadly, we know that sometimes we hurt those we love best. Differing opinions, political perspectives, and points of view can lead to division and unrest in friends and family, in friendships and families. And while the Gospels do offer us stories of Jesus' suffering, they also offer us many examples of how to imitate Christ, how to live and respond as Jesus did, how to be compassion, how to show love. Jesus himself gives us the instructions: feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, provide shelter to the homeless and clothing to the naked, visit the sick and imprisoned. And therein lies the second part of our Lenten challenge: to show compassion, to be love. By gazing upon the face of Jesus and contemplating his life through the Gospels, may we, like Francis and Claire, yearn to imitate Jesus by living love in small or big ways, offering ourselves, moving beyond our comfort zones, doing something out of the ordinary. Our Lenten invitation this year is to find practical, concrete ways to be love, to bring love to the world. For some of us, thinking of something practical may be difficult, or we may be too shy or fearful to do something out of our comfort zone. So we're going to give you some help. Sister B mentioned last weekend that we've made arrangements with a couple of organizations for volunteer opportunities. Saturday, March 2nd is our Be Love Day. Now, I'm not going to bother you with all the details. That's what the scan code is for. Go to the website, or better yet, talk to Mel after Mass. And on Sunday, March 3rd, representatives from Exodus World Service will be here for our coffee and after Mass. They're going to do a presentation about refugee relief in our local area and share some possible opportunities for volunteering. Now, if you can't make it on March 2nd, that's okay. Find your own day. Find your own way. And if you don't want to do it alone, ask a friend, ask a family member, ask the person sitting right next to you this very minute. Hey, you want to do something? There are ample ways for you to be love this Lent and beyond, because the yearning to imitate Christ shouldn't end on Easter Sunday. It should become a way of life. And it's our hope that the Be Love Volunteer Day will be so successful that we can make it a regular occurrence. Now, I'm going to offer you a tiny word of caution. When you start opening up your heart to be love, expect love in return. I've learned long ago that if you try to play the one-upmanship game with God, you're going to lose. God will always find ways to bless you and show you more love than you can imagine. And I have a true story to prove this point. In 2004, four hurricanes hit the state of Florida. It was a record number for one hurricane season. The second one, Hurricane Francis, that's Francis with an E. Hurricane Francis hit eastern Florida, where my brother Bob lived. 2 weeks before the hurricane, Bob had lost his job. He was downsized, and although he was financially set for a couple of months, he was feeling pretty low even before the hurricane hit. Of course, the family up here were in the north were praying for his safety, and a day or so after the hurricane, I called him. He told me he was fine, he was safe, his condo building wasn't damaged. But he started complaining about having lost his job and feeling sorry for himself and so on. And so I did what every good little sister should do. I showed him some tough love. I told him, stop moaning. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. You're safe. You're fine. Your home is intact. Well, good for you. Not everybody in your neighborhood can say that. I said, go outside. Go for a walk. And I guarantee that by the time you get to the end of the block, you're going to meet somebody who needs your help. And so he did. He went out and he met a group of Red Cross responders, and he offered to volunteer. Pretty soon he was helping organize and set up a makeshift shelter in a local school, and he worked there for several weeks. And it was there that he met Norma, a Red Cross trauma specialist who was sent there to counsel displaced people. The end of the story is Bob and Norma fell in love and married a short time later. Bob stopped feeling sorry for himself, moved out of his comfort zone, went out to do something good, and received love in return. He literally met the love of his life. Now, I can't guarantee that your experience of being love in the world will result in a similarly drastic event, but you never know. What you do could literally change your life. Melanie has chosen some wonderful hymns for us this Lenten season, and I ask you to carefully look at the lyrics, in particularly the communion hymn in the third verse. Those who give will receive, those who seek will find. So seek my face in every face and see the face of God. Dear friends, be love, give love, expect love in return. Find your own ways in your neighborhood, your community, perform simple random acts of kindness, or really move outside your comfort zone and do some kind of volunteer work. Our final Lenten activity is this. There's a tree outside here in the vestibule of the chapel and a basket of paper hearts. Every time you perform an act of love this Lent, whatever it might be, take a paper heart and write something to share about the experience. It could be a person's name or a place. It could be a word to describe what you did or how you felt. Whatever you'd like to write, put it on the tree. And then, throughout Lent, we can watch it blossom and grow with all the acts of love from our small faith community. Be love. Give love. Expect love in return. And may the Lord give you peace.